guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. You're listening to All Things Real Estate with Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel. Kurt's not here today. Oh, surprise. I know. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about a number of local issues, and I've asked Mike Quinn to be our guest on the show this morning. And Mike Quinn is running for Reading City Council. Mike, how you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you bet. And we have on our producer board today, we have Savannah. Good morning, Savannah.
Good morning.
Any upcoming backpacking or rock climbing kind of things going on?
Extremism.
Summer is done, so I am here to start school.
You are going to start school and working and just escaping for a few hours when you need that
when
break,
I need
huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you walk the river trails?
I do.
Oh, good.
I do. I walk with my roommates.
Good. So then we get, when we talk to Mike a little bit about the crime in our area and me particularly, because I am a river trail junkie, I'm out there every day, we'll talk a little bit about what happened at South City Park. So good. And then we have a couple other things I want to talk about today. Measure A a little bit, the marijuana initiative. You okay talking about that, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Cool. And Measure B, of course, Turtle Bay. And Selma Vineyards is closing, or it's going up for sale.
Up for sale.
Auction.
And, and they had some agreements that were finally made, you know, between the planning department and all that. And that's huge for our economy up there. That could be, you know, a big boost if they fulfill the vision that they want to do up there.
Yeah, and I guess the supervisors still have to vote on it. But who knows how that's going to go given, you know, his kind of history with the city council or the board of supervisors. I don't know about.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, he's left the area. He's saying he's leaving. So, you know, he wanted to put a spa up there, which would be great. It's a beautiful area. They've developed it well. They've settled their differences. You know, payments are going to be made. And let's move on and make the best of it.
Yeah, and from a real estate perspective, getting that approval was huge if the county actually approves it. I also want to talk about South City Park. And I read an article in the News Cafe yesterday about the Reading police officers out there on their motorbikes. And I have to say, I was out on the trail, and a couple of those motorbikes came by, and I gave them the thumbs up, said thank you, and if I could have hugged them, I would have. But that would have knocked them off their bike. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that, because I think that that strategy that the chief has is working. And a couple of times that I've been out, I've seen him out on bike patrol. Not too unhappy about the fact that it's taking those traffic cops off the street and lessening my ability to get a ticket. I have no problem with that. Rather see them on the bikes, to be honest with you. But that's me. And I know Kurt supports that as well. So that's kind of going to be what we're going to be talking a little bit about today. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you've been in Reading for about 35 years,
right,
and you have three kids. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get into the meat of things.
Well, because I used to own this station, sold it to Carl and Linda, and I owned KLXR and have for 15 years. So a lot of people think I'm in radio, but my actual background is as a corporate controller. And I was that for Seven Crown Resorts for the California properties, Bridge Bay, Digger Bay up here, and then Paradise Point in the Delta. They went on to be the controller for Emmett Vaughn Cascade Logging. And after that was closed down, which was a tragedy for our community and a lot of outlying communities, went to work for Redwood Broadcasting, and they were at that time putting – the FCC was allowing us to put radio stations together into groups. Prior to that, every station had to be an individual owner. Well, at first they said duopolies, you can put two stations together, and then they said, okay, as long as you don't dominate a market, you can put together groups. So this company out of Phoenix was buying stations in Siskiyou County, Shasta County, Butte County, and some other smaller ones around, and we were putting them into groups. So I've had a lot of experience, you know, in the buying and selling of businesses and valuations, and when it all came down to it, and we sold the stations that we had here in Reading to the group that's out there on Alta Mesa, there was this one little station left, KLXR, that nobody could buy, because if any of the other groups had bought it, they would then be too dominant in the market. So I penciled it out like, you know, a good controller does. I said, why don't you just run it by itself? And, of course, the corporate theory is you need five of them, so you Mm-hmm. I said, if you pencil it out, it works. And they looked at it and they said, well, if you think it'll work, why don't you take it? And so
okay.
I did. So my career in radio was not up through broadcast school and engineering school and all that. I do have some transmitter experience from the Air Force. All of a sudden, there I am.
And you have a good radio voice.
Well, it's, believe me, the very first day I was on the radio, it wasn't like this at all. It was an emergency situation where one of my employees had been in a car accident and there was nobody on the air. And I ran in here at 7 o'clock and I had absolutely no experience. There was no news written. There was nothing. And so I played a lot of music that morning.
I remember the first time I heard my voice on the radio and I couldn't stand to listen to it.
Nobody can. That's...
Yeah, I was a 911 dispatcher. And so we had to go in and listen to some of the calls or play them back for some reason or another. But the first time I heard it, I went, that is horrible. I didn't like the way it sounded, and so I stayed away from listening to that sound because how you talk on the radio is a little different than talking in normal because, you know, I'm Italian, so I use my hands a lot, as you can see, and you have to be able to express yourself on the radio in a way that people understand how you're feeling. With me, it's not so hard because I am Italian. But
well, you also have to remember, you know, the rules on the words that you've got to be careful of, too, because you can't speak on the radio like you might necessarily speak. If you're in a traffic situation,
you mean
or
like
something.
The seven bad words.
Yeah.
Well, we don't ever push that envelope here.
No.
But we do have colorful names for some of the criminal element that's in our city, or at least I do when I'm on the air. One of the things, you are a number cruncher, you're a vet, you are a business owner. All those things are really good in my mind for city council. But one of the big questions that I heard the last host talk about it on the air was the polarizing nature of our city council. You have one city councilman who raises the banner that I'm happy to be the dissenting vote. You have another one that kind of follows in line with that. And then you have three that are out there looking for solutions. Three who are voting yes on things and bringing them to the community, or no on things and not bringing them to the community. But you have three people on the council that seem to vote in a certain way and two that don't. And I wanted to ask you, when it's really important to me, how you're going to represent the folks on city council and how you're going to build bridges and not be the Dolores Lucero of Reading.
Oh, wait a minute. We can't go down there. Quick, hit that button, that seven. That was one of the bad seven words.
Well, you know,
you
have to know that, I mean, most people have to know that she was very polarizing. She just threw the city of Shasta Lake in a tailspin. And
I didn't think buses ran on Saturday. I think I just got thrown under one called Dolores Lucero.
Well,
wow.
No, but I think that in some respects, there is a little bit of that element. And I have a problem being in this county, working in this county. I have homes in this city. And I have a little bit of problem with the fact that there's no bridge building, that to say no. And to be so adamant about that no, to not see beyond that, just makes me crazy. But anyway.
You hit some very, very, very important subjects. Very important. And, you know, I'll just give you a brief start and then we'll get into it because I know we have to come up to a commercial break. I believe that if you are going to be a good politician, you're going to have your own natural prejudices and, you know, ideas and things like this.
Your own feelings.
Your own feelings about it. But you have to separate yourself. You have to take yourself away and say, okay, what is legal? What is the law? Okay, and that's very simple. The law is the law. And then what is mandated by statute? You know, maybe you have the federal law and you have the state law, and then there's city rules that have been voted in. And you have to follow those. I mean, you have to read them. You have to know them. You have to follow them. So that takes away a lot of the ideas and things like that. Then you have to ask yourself, what's morally right? And what is the will of the people?
And what is the right thing to do?
The right thing, that morally right and the will of the people, it comes down to the right thing to do for this community at this time. And at that point in time, your decision is made, and then you can bring yourself back in the picture, but that shouldn't change your vote. You can then have a conflict within yourself, debate yourself all day long and win or lose. But if you go under those four ideals, you know, law and statutes and morality and the will of the people, then I think that you can separate yourself from some of the polarity and things like that. And that's how decisions should be made. And that's what I will run on.
In spite of what you feel, which is different than what you should be doing for this community. Anyway, we're going to take a break. So if you have a question for Mike Quinn, give us a call at 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR.
Hello, this is Todd Giles, owner of Giles Insurance Services. We are a full-service independent agency representing many top-rated insurance companies to meet all your insurance needs. Whether it's insurance for your home, cars, boat, and RV, or whether it's in business insurance, health insurance, life insurance, or workers' compensation, give us a call and let our expertise find you the best company with the best rate to meet your insurance needs. We are locally owned and operated and proudly serving our community since 1976. Give us a call at 365-2762 or visit us on the web at tgilesinsurance.com.
Termites and dry rot inflict millions of dollars in damage to North State homes every year. Trinity Termite and Pest Control technicians are trained at spotting and applying mitigation measures to protect your investment year after year. Don't wait until your home suffers expensive structural damage. Call Trinity Termite and Pest Control today for an on-site expert survey or escrow inspection. They also take on those ants, roaches, and spiders. Think dead bugs. Trinity Termite and Pest Control, 222-6990. That's 222-6990.
Hi, this is Scott Jeter, owner of Jeterbilt Construction. We're a full-service general construction company specializing in all your building projects, both large and small. Locally owned and operated, we've established ourselves as a leader in the foreclosure rehab market. We're the only certified Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac repair specialist north of Sacramento. Property cleanup, remodeling, to construction consulting, and the final rekey. Let Jeterbilt be your finishing touch.
Call Lisa or Scott at 524-6003. Jeterbilt, we are here to help you love your home.
Hello, this is Kirk Screamo with Summit Funding. Getting home loans today can be a difficult and challenging process, but it doesn't need to be that way. My team has over 50 years lending experience. We know how to put a financial package together to get you the best deal possible. We will communicate with you constantly, and we'll be with you every step of the way. And even if you don't qualify now, we'll develop an action plan so you do. So please call us today at 530-722-9109.
Kirk Screama, NMLS ID number 251260, BRE ID number 01499520, Branch NMLS ID number 341420, Summit Funding Incorporated, NMLS ID number 3199. Summit Funding Incorporated is an approved equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Welcome back, Shasta County. You're here with Ruth Angel. I'm co-host of All Things Real Estate with Kurt Largent. Kurt Largent is not here today. But when we were talking about the right thing to do and quality of life matters here in the city for the folks that live in the city, the discussion of Turtle Bay started on the break. So we do have a caller first. Let's take the call from Billy Bob. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Ruth, great show. Mr. Mike
Quinn. Mike Quinn.
Mike Quinn, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, I fully support your candidacy. I think you're a straight shooter and a smart man. So, but again, my comment to you, Ruth, is that I just got through listening to Freedom in Action on another station, but Cheryl Clifford, and she's a prominent Republican, she had a letter written to Reverge and Somo, and she got a response back from him, and it is absolutely shocking. And I told her that she's got to publish this letter in return, and it absolutely made me ashamed of being in Shasta County. And I'm a 50-year resident, and you've got to get your hands on it, and we have to publish this. It's absolutely shocking.
Well, I'd be interested in hearing it. Now, when you say shocking, is it shocking because of the fact that he left, and
You just have to read it.
Okay.
He says he's back in Connecticut, and he's you just got to get your hands on it. And
okay.
I told Cheryl that we have to get it published in the Record Searchlight. And as a Shasta County resident for over 50 years, I am absolutely ashamed of our government and how he was treated and the whole episode concerning that fiasco. So,
you already know my feeling on it. I was looking for the county to do the right thing, end it, support this businessman, move forward, and just end it. He was a willing participant, and they didn't. So, I don't even know what their reasons were, but they were dug in on it. So
that's why I called you, to tip you on this.
Yeah.
It is absolutely eye-opening, and we have to get the money somehow to put it in the paper. And I joked with Cheryl. I said, hey, maybe we can even get a contribution from the Record Searchlight to get this printed. But it is eye-opening and absolutely made me, as a resident of this county, the most shameful person. So,
well, I think that the county is going to miss out on a lot of income if they don't get it sold to somebody that wants to keep the restaurant and possibly build a spa. And I just see it as, what did they expect? What did the county supervisors expect? And not only them, but the Record Searchlight. They crucified the guy. Here's a guy
yes.
that brought millions to the city and to the county, and they crucified him.
They're closing down. The restaurant's closing. They're selling at auction the 25th of September.
Yeah, well,
did you hear that?
I did hear that. I heard that on the news yesterday. But it's basically, he's basically saying, hey, you guys want to run your county like a bunch of thugs? Run it that way.
Yeah,
we're
okay,
out.
I'll let you guys go, but get your hands on that letter from Cheryl Clifford.
All righty. Thank you, Billy Bob. Appreciate the call.
All right,
we were, before Billy called, and we'll get in a little bit about the Anselmo thing, but I frankly am just, I mean, who didn't see this coming? I mean, what do you think about that, Mike?
Well, it's, I think what happened the other day at the Planning Commission allowed them to split the property and to rezone it so that somebody can put something out there. When it goes to sale, it's worth more. And maybe somebody will see that vision and saying, okay, if it's already been approved to put a spa out there, maybe somebody will continue that vision. Maybe somebody will just start their own vineyard with, you know, someone will purchase it and, you know, we'll have to see. I don't want to see that beautiful church mowed down.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's had the opportunity to go through that or not, but it's a spectacular, spectacular building, and this is going, I'm not going right or wrong as to how it was built and where it was built and all that. I'm saying I just really hope that that does not get torn down.
I mean, nuns, they have tiles placed from the nuns of, like, some South American country. I forget what it was, but it's a beautiful chapel, and it's just disheartening. But, you know, I knew the minute that this happened that that's what was going to happen. He was going to say, see ya. And we get what we deserve. And as a resident of this county, I guess doing the right thing was or doing what they digging in their heels and not opening themselves up for some sort of conversation that came to a solution. It actually came to, you know, just digging in. And
we have an opportunity to solve this.
That's right.
It's called vote.
Right.
If you don't agree with this, then you got to get out and vote. And in running, I'm going out and talking to people. I am shocked at how many people are not registered to vote.
So if
you're not willing to vote and you're not willing to stand up and go place your count in there against one of the supervisors or something like that and put somebody in there that you want, then you can't say anything about it. So let's make sure that, number one, we exercise that opportunity to vote. It's extremely important. People died to give us this right. Let's make sure we exercise it. Then we can say, okay, there's something wrong. And then you can go to the people, because I put you in office, and you can hold them responsible. But if you don't vote, we can't say anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I got to tell you, for someone to step up and run for city council, run for supervisor, run for anything, really, even water district, but to get involved and put your time and effort, take your time away from your family and your responsibilities and things that you need to do, I think is commendable. And I don't care really what side of the fence you're on. I do have to appreciate the fact that these guys or girls get involved in the politics of it. They put their name out there. They get crucified for the good decisions. They get crucified for the bad decisions. And then they get crucified for any decision, just being who they are. But the bottom line is, whether you agree with them or not, you have to support the fact that they're giving up so much to be proactive in this community, to be a part of this community, and to just, you know, get out there and do the right thing. We do have a question. Do you have another caller from Terry?
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are. Good morning.
Hey, yeah, I got a Mike. I don't think you're anything like Dolores Lucero. I think you're a little taller. I think your hair is different color, and I don't know if she wears glasses or not.
Be careful what you say nowadays. People change.
Okay, well, I think you, but I'm trying to figure out the logic of three people always voting the way, for the most part, that people don't want them to vote. Two people voting in a way, in a lot of cases, where people do want them to vote, and it's the two people's fault that don't get their way half the time, that there's no unity. Also, I'm a little curious as to what you think about public comment being at the end of the city council meetings, and I'll just take my answer off the air.
Okay. I do think that that's very important, and number one of the things that I'm really opposed to was that moving of the people's comments to the end of the meeting. So I would definitely push and push and push to get that comment back. If somebody feels they can't sit there and listen to the public, and I do listen to some of the people that get up, and they're very caustic, and they yell and scream about things that, you know, they just get their opinions out there. I think that if you're going to be a city councilman, you have to sit through that 3 minutes, smile, say thank you, and go to the next person. You know, they're there. But those people need to, you know, get a life on some of the subjects they're talking about. But the thing that's even more important than your comments, when you show up at the meeting and you comment on something they're voting on that night, it's too late. People have already made up their mind. You're not – 100 people could show up there. Those people are not going to change their minds. What we need to do is put on the agenda items that are going to come up in the future so people can present an offsetting and put in what the staff recommends, and then let people offset that and say, wait a minute, we only get plan A. They vote on plan A. What if there's a plan B and a plan C? What if people are totally opposed to this? By the time you get to speak, you cannot talk. You're not going to change their mind. We need to put things on the agenda, and here's the future agendas and future subjects. People can look at that, and they can speak for a couple of meetings prior to the vote happening. That is absolutely critical to democracy. We are not putting something on the ballot here on November the 4th that we decided to put on November the 1st. Why? There's a certain period of time that you have to give people a chance to make oppositions, and, you know, they can buy ads and things like that that they're opposed to it. Well, at the city council meetings, that does not happen, and I think that that is one of the fallacies of running these meetings the way they are. People do not have a chance when it counts, and if 100 people showed up two meetings before something was being voted on, and 100 people showed up at the next meeting, then you're going to say, wait a minute, there's an opposition to this.
Well, I like your idea, because putting up future agendas and getting that out, that's a great idea. But, you know, they could have framed it differently. If it's not regarding what's on the agenda, they don't get to talk. So they have to put down what they're going to talk about for their 3 minutes. And if it's not part of that agenda, you got to come back.
Well, they do. I mean, that is done, because they separate them. And so the first opening comments are just general things that people want to talk about.
No general. It's got to be on the agenda.
Well, people still need to get – we still need to listen to it. Maybe we open the meetings up at 5:30 or something like that, and for the first half hour they get that.
Well, I think that if it's on the agenda and that's what they say, and that was from listening to Francie Sullivan, that was the problem, that they were talking about things that the council wasn't even voting on or even looking into at the point. They just get up there and just say their nasty comments and move on. So if you put out a future agenda, you want to talk about what's on the agenda, fine. And that's to the benefit of everybody in the room, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. If you've got general comments, leave that open for after. You know, and then if...
But, you know, the problem with that is that people leave.
Well, nope. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you get to 11:30...
If you want to be angry and talk about general stuff, do it at the end.
But 11:30 at night. I mean, there are some people... Not everybody there is an angry person who gets up there. There are a few that have kind of caused this to, you know, come to a head. But there's a lot of good people up there who will stand up and say there's something going on in our neighborhood, and the city council will direct the staff to appoint somebody to go talk to that person. That has to be done. And if you do that, I mean, some of those meetings go on so late that it's just impossible for people to do it. We need to have a forum where people can talk to the city council.
Well, I
would demand that.
I went to a city council meeting, frankly, because it was on something I was on. I forget what it was over. But I went and I listened, and that happened to be the time that Francis Sullivan scolded the people for getting up there and talking about the issue. And I'm sitting there going, well, isn't that what this whole 3 minutes is for? To be able to give opposing ideas to you so that you listen and you have an understanding about the public's feeling? But anyway.
Again, the final step that I would take in making a decision is the will of the people. You have to hear from the will of the people. Therefore, they have to know what you're thinking about what you're going to be voting on. And it has to be done in advance.
Yeah, and my thought is that you're not going to hear it in the Reading Council meeting. You should be in touch with your constituents, period. But when we talk about the polarizing nature, and I want to get into that a little bit because of the Turtle Bay deal, when we talk about the polarizing nature of the city council, which side of the fence you're on, either you're for the two guys that don't vote with the other three or the three or vice versa, you have to have a means or mechanism in place. You have to be able to listen to both sides. You have to pick out some common ground and then work from that. You can hold your position and you can be positive about some of those things that you believe are a benefit to the city. And I'll give you an example. For Patrick Jones to say that indemnification is his reason for not wanting Turtle Bay to go through, I find totally offensive, and he'll be on the show in a couple weeks again, because that's his feeling. That's his sense that McConnell Foundation is not going to is for somehow he's suspect that McConnell Foundation will not indemnify the city. I mean, that's gold. And I don't understand that. And how can you bring your personal feeling in when the bottom line is that the McConnell Foundation said they will indemnify the city, period. End of story. Move on. That's his whole argument. Then you have Gary Cadd saying $600,000 is not the true amount to the city. Well, it is the true amount. The fact that the city wanted to withhold funds to improve the Civic Center has nothing to do with the fact that they're getting $600,000. Also, he made the statement on Carl's show that McConnell would not allow the deed restrictions. That is garbage. Deed restrictions are deed restrictions. It doesn't matter who buys the property. The other thing was that the lease can be changed at any time. With the city, where the city has no interest in, of course not. They sold the property to McConnell and Turtle Bay. Bottom line, city has no more interest. They sold the property, but the lease can't be changed because Turtle Bay is in control. If they choose to change the lease, they choose to change it. And the fourth reason he gave was that Turtle Bay does not own the lease. Well, the foundation does have the lease, and they have it for 88 years. So those are the arguments that he was giving. And my thought is that, well, okay, if those are your reasons and you get an update and find out that it was the city's intent to put that in to improve that area, then let's look at this, because this is really a gift to the community. This is money in the coffers that don't come from the taxpayers. It comes from the people visiting. It comes from the foundation and their intent to build more of those type of income-generating properties, like a planetarium, the Vets Museum. Those are all good things for this community and income-generating. And I wanted to find out, if you are dead set against this or if you're for it, how will you work with the other council members to see that the right information is being put out, and that you're – because city council approved this. The three approved this, so –
And very, very important, let's put this into a timing perspective, is that, yes, there was an approval, and, of course, then people came forward and did what they were supposed to do. Like I said, you vote. If you don't like something, you get people together, you put together your petition, your signatures, and you get it on the ballot.
And that's
this is
a
pure case of what I'm trying to tell people, is that you need to, if you don't agree with something, go through the steps. And this, people did that, so now it's up to vote. Remember that whoever is putting their hand up on December the 5th, when they take those seats, is going to be stuck with the vote of the people. Our opinions and all that are going to be already predetermined at that point. Not my personal opinion and all that, but what the council has to do then is take that vote and move on with it. So we don't know which direction that's going to go.
So by the time you're elected, the vote
I'm elected,
will, yes,
somebody else,
the vote will have
it has been decided by the people.
So the fact that you're for it would not does not really even matter.
Remember, my personal opinion gets set aside. It is the will of the people. And this is the pure case where all the steps were followed. Now everybody gets a chance to voice. It's not five people, 3-2, 4-1, 5-0. It's everybody. And so that is the most important thing that's going to come out of this. We're going to have to deal with it, whether it goes one yes or no. Then the city council, you know, will have things to deal with. And we're not sure what will happen there. You know, if they approve it, if they don't approve it, will it move on? Which way will it move on? Well, that's then up to the city council. But you can't, you know, again, you're going to say, what is your opinion on it? And I'm kind of torn between it. I was on a commission before in which we would have sold some of that property down there to McConnell. And this would have been much, you know, a great thing for the city that never went through. So I'm not opposed to it. The big question that I have on this, and again, I was in the hotel motel industry.
Right, and you talked about looking at those numbers in July.
Looking at
when
the numbers and things like this is a huge thing. I know when we were at Bridge Bay, there were two things that happened to us up there that were out of our control that destroyed seasons. One was a set of fires in which we had fires burning east, north, and west of us. And these were 400,000 acre fires. These were huge fires. And the smoke covered the lake. You couldn't see. You couldn't. And you know what? People canceled what we thought was we had revenue coming in. All of a sudden, they all canceled. We ended up laying tons of people off. So that happened. And then they had the Cantera spill, which destroyed the lake. And that was in July.
Right.
And so the whole lake got emptied out. Now, the railroad ended up paying some of those people. And I was involved in some of those suits against the railroad. And we settled ours for a very fair price because we were able to determine exactly how much the business I was representing lost. And they said, this is correct. And we pay you some for the second year and some for the third year because of the residual negativity that was on there. So I know what happens. With Turtle Bay, if this hotel loses money, Turtle Bay has to pay. Well, Turtle Bay is saying, we are in bad straits. What if it doesn't work? Is Turtle Bay got the money? Who's got the money then to put up for the fact you're going to lose if the hotel loses money? I always go to that backup plan.
I really don't think that this is going to be make Turtle Bay self-sufficient. I know they get about $800,000 in donations, but we can work through those problems. It's not going to be on the taxpayer, though.
No, but what happens? I mean, remember, Turtle Bay is owned by all of us. It is our museum complex, and people keep thinking that that's this little city. It's like the Vatican, you know, in the middle of Rome. It's its own – Vatican is its own country there.
Right.
So people are seeming to think, no, Turtle Bay belongs to us, and we should all be a part of this. And, you know, you support it, you know, through memberships and by going to it and things like that. But, you know, that belongs to us. It's on city land. There's a lease and all that. But remember, Turtle Bay was a – collaboration of three museums that we had that were put together down there in one place.
Right.
And so it is ours.
Of course. I think we take ownership of everything in here. I think we take ownership of the rodeo grounds. We take ownership of it all because it matters. Our quality of life matters to us in this county, in this city. And the bottom line is that everything that happens here matters to us, including crime. We need to take a break. If you have questions for Mike Quinn, give us a call, 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR.
Hello, this is Kirk Screamer with Summit Funding. Getting home loans today can be a difficult and challenging process, but it doesn't need to be that way. My team has over 50 years lending experience. We know how to put a financial package together to get you the best deal possible. We will communicate with you constantly, and we'll be with you every step of the way. And even if you don't qualify now, we'll develop an action plan so you do. So please call us today at 530-722-9109.
Kirk Screama, NMLS ID number 251260, BRE ID number 01499520, Branch NMLS ID number 341420, Summit Funding Incorporated, NMLS ID number 3199. Summit Funding Incorporated is an approved equal housing lender.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Hi, this is Scott Jeter, owner of Jeterbilt Construction. We're a full-service general construction company specializing in all your building projects, both large and small. Locally owned and operated, we've established ourselves as a leader in the foreclosure rehab market. We're the only certified Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac repair specialist north of Sacramento. Property cleanup, remodeling, to construction consulting, and the final rekey. Let Jeterbilt be your finishing touch.
Call Lisa or Scott at 524-6003. Jeterbilt, we are here to help you love your home.
Termites and dry rot inflict millions of dollars in damage to North State homes every year. Trinity Termite and Pest Control technicians are trained in spotting and applying mitigation measures to protect your investment year after year. Don't wait until your home suffers expensive structural damage. Call Trinity Termite and Pest Control today for an on-site expert survey or escrow inspection. They also take on those ants, roaches, and spiders. Think dead bugs. Trinity Termite and Pest Control, 222-6990. That's 222-6990.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Welcome back, Shasta County. You're listening to All Things Real Estate, and our show is basically all those things that affect real estate. And these local issues, Measure A, Measure B, Measure A, the marijuana initiative to keep the ban, we're obviously supporting it. Measure A, yes on Measure A, and yes on Measure B from our perspective, and that's how we're thinking of it, because we, with Measure B, the dollars are needed in this community. We got a quarter. We're facing a quarter cent tax hike, which, you know, in my mind, they want to craft it so the money goes to public safety. And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the quarter cent. I know you're not. So I'd like to get your opinion of it, because me, I'm on the River Trail, and like I talked about earlier in our programming when we first started, I'm on the River Trail. I see the dottings of transients especially when they get moved. When the bicycles were out, they moved these people on and got these people moving, and then they started showing up in other places on the River Trail. So let me get your thoughts on the quarter percent tax hike.
Okay, the answer that the government always comes up with is when there's a problem is raise taxes. Raise this, raise this, raise this. We're raising rates. PG&E wants 12% gas rate. You know, the state's going to raise this rate. They take away this credit. All of this it's always in the same direction. When they're not looking to see that they have the money to begin with. Number one, some of it's in the reserve, some of it's in risk management. Those things have been brought up. But there's also other sources that they don't tap. The last thing you do is raise taxes, because that money comes out of the community. If they're saying a quarter percent, which is what it's down to, and it was a 5-0 vote, if that takes $5 million and gives it to the police department, that means $5 million is not circulating in our community anymore. It's not, the people aren't out there spending it. Yes, the police, some of it will receive wages and will have more people hired and they'll spend it that way. But that'll be a lot less than if it was just in the community. So you lose some sales tax by doing that. So you actually cut back every time you do. You've got to be careful. And again, this is the count and controller side of me that, you know, throws it out there. I believe in good circulation of money. So you give it to the government last. They'll get their share. If you have a good, strong economy and the money's moving from person to person, from business to business, eventually sales tax and other taxes are going to give it to the government. So that's just supply side economics, and I'm a firm believer in that.
Well, don't you think that initially a 0.25% tax increase will that we will see some benefit by it? Not only, I mean, we're getting a new statistical computer for the RPD so that we so that he can throw these numbers at us that we need so desperately because we've got this transient problem, we've got crime problem, but a lot of people aren't even reporting those crimes. You heard Chief Pauletta the other day talk about, you know, people can wait hours and at that point they're done.
So give him the volunteers that he wants and the CSO officers so we can get our statistics up to date. And you know what? You need it immediately because you need to know if there's crimes, if there's 10 burglaries within this one neighborhood in 2 weeks and it takes you 4 weeks to get the statistics in there, you can't do anything about it. Timing is everything.
Oh,
well, today in an
totally
instant
agree.
World,
yeah.
We need to have that. But, you know, that's something of sending people out there and getting reports
so
and things like that.
He's taking 88,000 calls a year or 98,000 calls a year, close to 100,000 calls a year, and it doesn't translate to the number of reports taken.
Right.
So there are reports that they're not even taken because they have to utilize their time in a way that's efficient.
So that's where he wants the volunteers to be able to write those reports, and they have to be trained to write them properly and correctly, and we can get them quickly.
That's a great idea that he mentioned.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, we need to know when something's happening so they can move their resources around, and timing is everything when it comes down to solving problems, especially in an instant world. But when it comes to the tax, you notice that were you at the meeting when they voted on this?
I heard the meeting, actually.
Okay.
I live in the county, and I didn't want to take a seat from somebody that actually lived in Reading, so I didn't go. But
well, just a few minutes before they voted, they brought up this idea of a 0.5% sales tax. They voted a 2% increase to the top management of Reading and RU.
I did hear that.
Which cost $1 million. So all of a sudden they have $1 million for raises and the benefits that go along with these raises to the top people in the city. And then they turn around to the public and say, oh, by the way, if you want more police, you have to pay a tax.
And that's the city's decision. The city council had to approve that. And I got to tell you, when the chief has to buy bike shorts for, you know, $200 a pair of bike shorts, that to me is just so offensive. When they're giving raises to top management, yet we've got to buy bike shorts and the community has to put funds together to put a bulletproof vest for their dogs. That offends me.
That is exactly what I'm saying is right now. They find the money when they want to. And it was not on the agenda, you know, for that 0.5% sales tax. They didn't talk about that when they're saying, okay, well, these are great people and they're doing a great job. We need to show our appreciation and give them a 2% raise. And then they turn around and say, oh, by the way, we have this other problem that's now affecting us. It's been here for years. And we need a 0.5% sales tax because we got to stop it right now. No, they should have stopped. They should have put that first and then said, do we give them a raise?
Oh, yeah. And I know Mark Beecham had called for, hey, cut every place, you know, if we have to deal with weeds on our corners, fine, but put it into public safety. And so the priority of this community, and I heard it for a long time because I've been on the radio here now for 5 years, but I've heard them say, give the money to the public safety and let them do their job. And we are, and then we struggle with the city council who approves the $1 million for top brass. I mean,
that to me was, I was shocked. That type of thinking was even going on at that meeting, that they would do it in that order.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do it in the other order and say, hey, we need a 0.5% sales tax and we're going to be bringing this up? And then say, oh, by the way, now we're going to give raises to everybody. Well, aren't the people who got the raises supposed to be part of the solution?
Exactly.
If we have this crime, then who's not doing their job?
Right. And, you know, and I do agree with Patrick Jones on this in that he had asked the council and put it forth to them to give cut the budgets, get $1 million, throw it at the police department, let them, you know, move forward. And you talk about that balance with Chief Pauletta, where he's having to take guys off the traffic beat and put them on the bikes and put them in the what do they call those things? The smaller motorcycles. I forget what they're called, trail bikes or whatever. But I got to tell you, the impact on that to me, just, you know, seeing it, I think it is huge, and I absolutely love it. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about South City Park when they were out there doing the training and moved 25 homeless on. I'm like, yay. And to have these one or two people who are homeless advocates have a problem with that, I'm saying to myself, this is our city. These are our parks for our kids, and they are not homeless encampments. And so we're taking our city back, and we're taking our parks back. We can do something else with the homeless, and I know that's a big issue for you. So we'll take a break. You're listening to KCNR.
Hi, this is Scott Jeter, owner of Jeterbilt Construction. We're a full-service general construction company specializing in all your building projects, both large and small. Locally owned and operated, we've established ourselves as a leader in the foreclosure rehab market. We're the only certified Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac repair specialist north of Sacramento. Property cleanup, remodeling, to construction consulting, and the final rekey. Let Jeterbilt be your finishing touch.
Call Lisa or Scott at 524-6003. Jeterbilt, we are here to help you love your home.
Hello, this is Todd Giles, owner of Giles Insurance Services. We are a full-service independent agency representing many top-rated insurance companies to meet all your insurance needs. Whether it's insurance for your home, cars, boat, and RV, or whether it's in business insurance, health insurance, life insurance, or workers' compensation, give us a call and let our expertise find you the best company with the best rate to meet your insurance needs. We are locally owned and operated and proudly serving our community since 1976. Give us a call at 365-2762 or visit us on the web at tgilesinsurance.com.
Termites and dry rot inflict millions of dollars in damage to North State homes every year. Trinity Termite and Pest Control technicians are trained in spotting and applying mitigation measures to protect your investment year after year. Don't wait until your home suffers expensive structural damage. Call Trinity Termite and Pest Control today for an on-site expert survey or escrow inspection. They also take on those ants, roaches, and spiders. Think dead bugs. Trinity Termite and Pest Control, 222-6990. That's 222-6990.
Hello, this is Kirk Screamer with Summit Funding. Getting home loans today can be a difficult and challenging process, but it doesn't need to be that way. My team has over 50 years lending experience. We know how to put a financial package together to get you the best deal possible. We will communicate with you constantly, and we'll be with you every step of the way. And even if you don't qualify now, we'll develop an action plan so you do. So please call us today at 530-722-9109.
Kirk Screema, NMLS ID number 251260, BRE ID number 01499520, Branch NMLS ID number 341420, Summit Funding Incorporated, NMLS ID number 3199. Summit Funding Incorporated is an approved equal housing lender.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in and a king-size tub.
Well, welcome back, Shasta County. You're listening to All Things Real Estate with Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel. Kurt is not here today, so I have as my guest Mike Quinn. And, you know, I know the homeless problem is a big issue for you and that you actually participate in those things that help the homeless. Folks, and why don't we talk a little bit about that? Because I want to bring up Hangtown Haven, which
okay.
which you may be familiar with or may not be familiar with. But go ahead. And I was in here one day where you were looking for a couple who were actually homeless. I happened to see them on my walk, and I kind of knew where they were. But you were successful in getting these folks or help. Folks in your circle were successful getting these people placed.
Yeah, that was an example of when we say homeless transients, we lump everybody into one group. And when they had that town hall meeting and they first brought up homeless and transients, the whole crowd was saying, get rid of them, throw them out of here, take them to the border, get them out. We have to be better than that. We have to be better than that because not everyone is out there because they want to be. Some people actually work and are homeless because they can't afford a home. Then that goes on.
The working poor.
Right. So we need to separate them. And I went down to the homeless barbecue that they had this past week. Jessica Delaney, who runs a consortium for the homeless and all that, was down there with her staff. And I got to talk to them and see what was going on. And this is a chance for them to bring these people together, maybe help them out with some of the services. Yeah, there are some very bad people out there. And we need to separate. And they go into these camps and they're beating each other up and all that. And the police patrol these camps.
So do you think that number of people that actually need and want the help is small? in comparison to the number of the transients that are walking on Market Street here?
It's a, you know, there's, we are a magnet. People say, why do we have this problem here? Every county seat has this problem because the county seat is where all social services generate in a county.
Right.
So that's where they're here. And we're at the crossroads of 299 and I-5. You know, we're a crossroads. Some people are just passing through. And so everybody that walks the street who's dirty and all this gets lumped into this criminal homeless thing. We found a couple about three or four weeks ago walking down North Market Street from the hill. They are in a camp up there. They are Reading residents. They are developmentally disabled. They're married. They're in their mid-20s. These people, where are we going to take them to? They are our people. They are our citizens. And
our responsibility.
Our responsibility. And they were lovely people. They adopt animals they find in these camps and take care of them. The two dogs they had were in bad, bad condition. And the people at the Old West Gun Shop actually took them in and gave them water and helped them cool down and stuff like this so they could continue on. And hats off to them for doing that. These people are homeless. Are they transients? Are they criminals? No, they're not. So we need to separate them.
One example.
There's more than that. There's another gentleman.
What are the numbers? I mean, what I see, and I see mostly males on the river trail, and they are either high on meth or coming off of that high, and I see.
Then we need to separate that.
Yeah, we do. And that's my whole point is let's help those people that want the help, like this couple.
Yes.
They're developmentally disabled, but they're also willing to accept the help because they have the dogs. They're not able to have access to them.
They were afraid of help because they would lose their animals. Well, we went to Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, and they said, we can help them, and we have place for them to go, and they can keep their animals. And so you have these good stories. We need to go out there and do that before we judge everybody. But the criminal element is a totally different. If we, you know, could incarcerate all of them, there's going to be homeless. We have hard times. You know, the numbers came out for unemployment. You know, they're still bad around here. And, you know, when somebody was crowing the other day that our unemployment's down to 10%, I'm saying, what are you crowing about that for?
Well, we don't have a lot of time.
Right.
Man, this hour went by really fast. But I am going to bring up Hanktown Haven because when it was proposed, there were 40, 50 adults going to go to this thing. Well, it closed within a year. I think it's 16 months is what it was. The crime rate went up 60%. The residents had a huge problem with it, so they didn't renew that permit. But, you know, who knows where those homeless are now, probably here in Shasta County. But the bottom line is that it was a horrible thing for Placerville. It was just a disaster. But yet they have the homeless advocate saying it was the best thing ever happened. We reached out to these people and all this stuff happened.
Let's separate them. Let's go out and you take Jessica Delaney and Officer Snyder from the Reading Police Department who work these homeless camps and their crews. They literally walk through. They know these people by name and all that. Let's separate them. Let's pull the ones out of there who want a place to stay. Let's get them a place to stay. There's a kid named Benjamin who lives behind the Elks Lodge. He's desperately seeking a job. He wants to go to work. He said, I have skills. I can't find a job because I'm homeless. I don't have an address to send something to. I don't get any benefits because I don't have an address. We need to go in there and separate them. Okay, let's do it right now. We'll draw the line and say, okay, you're on this side. You want help. Here's the place we can go take you. The rest of them, then we deal with them and let the law enforcement, if they're criminal, deal with them.
Yeah, and I say, and my personal opinion is that I'm throwing money at it because I want them dealt with. And I want the police chief to have $2.5 million to deal with that.
But let's not be so callous as to say everybody belongs in the same place.
Well, no, I'm not. And I totally agree with you. But those people, the young couple, they weren't on the river trails. They weren't sneaking out in their pajamas and attacking people. They weren't the three women on the river trail who were sexually or assaulted on the river trail. I mean, I went out there on purpose to walk those river trail in that particular area every day for about 3 weeks. And I'm thinking to myself, come on, bring on your rock, buddy. You know, I'm ready.
That's exactly it. And, you know, we had a lady who was killed on the river trail years and years ago, and they put together bike patrols, somebody who had owned one of the bike shops and all that, and we patrolled those on bike.
Exactly. But I think
there were
a lot of people out there. I had my dogs. I met people on the river trail doing the very same thing, and I think that's an awesome thing. And we really didn't get to touch on, you know,
I wanted to touch on.
I know there's so much that we have going on in here, but – we're coming to the conclusion. Any last words you have for us?
I just really encourage people, if you are not registered to vote, please go vote. And if you know other people that aren't, let's get out there and make sure that your voices are heard. And let's understand that there is a process, and it happened, you know, that's how this, the Turtle Bay measure got put on, because people gathered signatures. And let's follow that process here. And then let's make sure that when you talk to city council people and they want to go on there, that they're willing to listen to you. And because your voice is the one that counts. There's five people up there making decisions for almost 100,000 people. That's a big responsibility.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're serving on the council, or that you want to serve on the council, because that's a huge thing. And I appreciate the fact that you're getting involved, because that is because everybody needs to get involved, and we need to have options. And again, thank you, Mike. Thank you for listening. Kurt will be back hopefully next week, and we will be doing, I'm sure we'll have a surprising guest. I don't know who it is. Thank you.
Picture show, second balcony, was the place we'd meet, second seat. Go Dutch.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Reading, the community radio of the North State.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Cleanup underway today after another night of looting in Ferguson, Missouri. Anger still simmering over the shooting death of an unarmed black teen by a white police officer. State police say some protesters broke into and looted the same convenience store where Michael Brown was accused of robbing shortly before his fatal encounter with police. Authorities say two people have been stabbed to death and several wounded in a fight outside a North Texas roller rink. A City of Greenville spokeswoman says the argument started inside the skate safari during a private party early today and spilled outside. Police are interviewing witnesses. Republican Congressman Doug Collins offering the GOP radio address this week. He says Senate Democrats are acting irresponsibly by not taking action on a number of GOP bills that could be good for the country.
Even when it comes to a crisis like the one on our southern border, House Republicans passed a common sense solution, and Senate Democrats left town without doing the hard work to pass their own.
2012 GOP.